Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Frank Benali.
This is Klaus Lundekvam.
I'm Matt Letitia.
Dean Hammond here.
And you're listening to In That Number.
Here is Letitia, and he's done it! There's the reply! Barry in the heart! History made!
It's James Beattie. Oh, Belter!
Barry put a hat-trick!
Cash lifts it and he's got it in as well! And Danny Ings has done it again!
Thanks for checking out In That Number with me, Kevin, the Moscow Mush Milverton, and Ray Hunt. Find me on Twitter at Moscow Mush and my co-host Ray Hunt at RayHunt84. Follow the show at Number Podcast on Twitter, In That Number Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. If you've got any questions for the show, if you can be bothered, send us an email to inthatnumberpodcast@gmail.com. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever it is you get your podcasts. Share, subscribe and give us good vibes. Let's go.
Welcome back to another episode of ITN. This is episode 129, I think. 129, yes. Title, Mush?
Are we going with 8 out of 10 goals as a tribute to the late Sean Locke?
I think we should.
Then we can have the spin-off, 8 out of 10 goals, does the countdown to transfer window closing.
Very good.
Quite a long episode title, though, isn't it?
It's going to take a long edit, this one, yeah. But yes, busy week just gone. 2 games, 2 new signings, lots of travel, a cup draw and plenty of drama. All that and much more. Plus, we get to share it with a special guest today. And if that wasn't enough, we also have Tim to discuss our next game after the international break on the 11th of September for the visit of free-scoring West Ham. Joining me, as ever, is the charismatic Moscow Mush, Kevin Milverton. Has anyone actually called you charismatic before, Kevin?
You just have. I don't
know. I don't think they have. I don't know where that come from, but yeah. All right. How are you?
Thanks for the veiled compliment. Yeah, I'm fine, a little bit hungover. It was a double birthday for both the in-laws yesterday.
Happy birthday.
So, yeah. Yeah, happy birthday, lad. But yeah, some quite, I don't know about wild, but definitely excessive celebrations yesterday.
Well, I mean, it's a bank holiday weekend over here, so I had a little bit of a family gathering yesterday, so I'm very hungover this morning. It's just, I definitely can't drink like I used to, or like we used to, because now that we're in the twilight of our youth and all that. By the way, Gemma actually called me middle-aged yesterday.
That's not doing much for your life expectancy, is it, Mish?
No, that's awful. I mean, she said I'm on the verge of a midlife crisis because I still wanted to buy a Subaru Impreza.
Ah, really?
Yeah, I wanted the Richard Burns like 99 one since I was like 14, and I still want one now. And I think I said I will have it one day. And I told myself back then, but she hates them. And
I think I had the opposite yesterday. We were having a conversation about a car that I want to buy that Mrs. doesn't want me to buy, and that's a Vaz 3110.
I don't even know what that is.
Volga. I can send you a picture of it.
But, you should do that.
Yeah, it's basically a Soviet-era banger, but I think it would be a lot of fun.
Exactly, it's fun. It's not a midlife crisis at all.
But that's more of a middle-aged man car than my age, so yeah, I'm in the opposite, I suppose.
But you're middle-aged, Kev.
Christ, you think I'm not going to see 70?
But yeah, anyway, Gemma hates the Subarus, but I was drunk last night, to summarise. Copious amounts of black coffee this morning and iron brew. But yeah, I'm feeling all right now. I'm getting there. Incidentally, if anyone actually loves the Subaru Impreza, get in touch with me because I think I'm the only one.
That's a nice guy.
Hey, thank you, Kev. It's good. I like it. Now, we'd like to bring in our special guest. We personally would like to thank him for his donation to the show. And, you know, he's always a valued member on our Discord chat. He comes from across the pond. He's a Saints fan and also a New York Rangers fan. So that's three, including myself. There must be more, surely. But anyway, a huge welcome to Scott Gorman. Scott, thank you for coming on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I can't believe that I've been listening to you guys like your family for so long, and to actually be a part of it, I'm quite honored.
It's definitely our honor. But yeah, how are you doing today?
I'm recovering from that roller coaster yesterday, but I'm feeling a lot better than I was in the 90th minute.
Yeah, it could have been a lot worse. It could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, I feel like that's really a microcosm of the Ralph era, isn't it? I mean, you're filled with optimism at times. You feel like the sky is the limit. There's no way this can go wrong. And then suddenly you take a gut punch only to feel better again, only to be brought back to reality. And then in the end you say, yeah, it really could have been a lot worse.
Oh, I think that sums up everything this season apart from the Everton game, because that was just kind of just never got better after that, did it? But yeah. So firstly, why on earth are you a Saints fan? Because, I mean, I understand that you're a Jets fan as well, and you have nothing but misery with the New York Jets and with the New York Rangers. So you kind of like have a choice at a Premier League club. Why would you inflict more pain and suffering by picking Saints?
It's funny you put it in those terms, because I actually feel a bit guilty about the fact that I jumped on the Southampton train back in 2015 when the team was actually riding pretty high, whereas with all of my other teams, I fell in love with them when they were somewhere between mediocrity and being just god-awful. And it all started as a joke when a friend of mine says to me back in 2015, you know what? I got the perfect team for you. And mind you, to this point, I had never followed club soccer at all, much less international football. There I went and used the term I said I wouldn't.
Punishment incoming.
And well deserved. All the preparation right out the window. So it begins back then when my friend says to me, this team is perfect for you. They are hopelessly frugal. So they have these, you know, they'll find great talent and then they'll let them all get away because they can't pay for them or they don't want to pay for them. So it'll be like your baseball team. I'm also a Mets fan.
Me!
So he says, so you'll be used to that. And also, you know, they're known as the Saints, and the fans are always singing when the Saints go marching in. So it touches upon my love of jazz and New Orleans. So I figured, all right, I'll play along with this for a while. So I started getting the updates on my phone and watching them when they had the occasional game on American television. Oh, it also helped that at the time they had a Portuguese captain, so I'm married to a Portuguese woman. So I figured, all right, this is kind of meant to be. And then I'm not sure if you've even seen this, but NBC does this short documentary with Roger Bennett called The Southampton Way. As an aside here, for the life of me, I can't find this thing online, but I've seen other Southampton supporters say that this had an impact on them as well. So if anybody can find that thing, I would love to know how to find it, because I had DVR'd it, and I don't know where it is now. I watched it over and over again. And I'm sitting here swelling with pride over my newfound allegiance to a club from a city that I couldn't find on a map in a country that I've never visited. I'm actually, it's at this point that I'm getting kind of obnoxious around the house. I just loved, I thought Ralph really said it well when he said that we like to be the pirate. Like, I just love that attitude. For the life of me, I cannot understand how everyday people can really enjoy pulling for one of these giant behemoth clubs who play against other giant behemoth clubs. I mean, like, unless you can really relate to, like, owning Microsoft or Amazon.
So you're not a fan of the Super League, then?
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. I was almost a fan insofar as, like, then I wouldn't have to worry about these clubs anymore. But I need that villain, I think. Yeah, no, I haven't. And I haven't found the person who was a fan of that idea.
No, still not.
Yeah. So then, you know, over time, I just started kind of seeking out more information about Saints, just going down that rabbit hole, and tripped over your podcast, as well as the Saints FC podcast. I started listening to these things religiously. I have to say, I don't know if – I'm sure I'm not alone in this regard, but folks like yourselves and – yeah, John Bailey and Tom Parker over the Saints FC podcast. Don't know if they're doing that anymore, but
sporadically, I think. Yeah,
seems to be a hiatus.
Yeah, they seem to be. But you know, getting the experience of listening to you guys, the emotion that you bring, and also it was a good kind of nuanced discussion that I found it was even more interesting than the sports I had grown up watching. I also have to say I've always loved reading Carl Anka and hearing him on your podcast. And so it just really kind of made for a really enjoyable experience. And now I'm probably to the point where, you know, I seek out other Premier League fans out here, and I'd say as obnoxious with them as I am with fans of other American teams.
Love it. Would you say your passion has grown for the club then, or has it lessened now over the few struggling years since that 2015 season?
Oh my God, it's only grown. In fact, it's amazing how in the pantheon of amazing sports moments, that Gabbiadini goal at Swansea, I actually couldn't watch the game at the time, but I was furiously watching on, I was furiously keeping up with the score and, you know, watching the highlights as soon as I could. I remember where I was. There was something to that kind of, I don't know, maybe it more like it tied in with my love of teams who are experiencing futility, except in America, we don't have this relegation thing. And thank God for it, or all of my teams would have been relegated long ago.
Yeah, that Gabbiadini goal kind of has like a Stefan Matteau moment about it over here. Maybe not to the same extent, but you know what I mean.
I'll tell you what, for me, it is, believe it or not, it is up there.
Yeah.
Especially because, I I've had to learn this over time, you know, the thing about American sports is all of your teams are going to, we could make a joke about teams like the Detroit Lions in football, but just about every team at some point in time, if you follow them long enough, they're going to have a moment where if things break right, they could win a title. And it's been a bit of an adjustment that, all the optimism in the world, I don't think any Norwich supporter believes that they're ever going to win the Premier League, particularly in their lifetimes. But you do have those moments where your team could go down if things don't break right. And so it might not be Matteau, but it's pretty darn close to it.
What are your highlights and lowlights as a Saints fan?
Oh, boy. Yeah, the Pellegrino era was pretty much a lowlight that kind of dashed all optimism. It was sad to see Fonte want to move on. So those were the top of my head, those are the worst. The Gabby Dini goal, of course, as I mentioned, that was one of the highlights. I kind of feel like watching them in Europa was a highlight that I couldn't appreciate at the time, I don't think. I mean, it was amazing for me to, like, go into a bar and see my team up there playing in Europa. But I don't think I could appreciate it as much as I should have. But actually, just I think the optimism that came with Ralph and then, oh, being top of the table. I mean, that was I was insufferable out here. And it's kind of funny, you know, when a team in New York wins the championship, you expect everybody to go around, you know, with their chest puffed out. I was posting on Facebook to my hundreds of friends who have no idea what the heck I'm talking about and absolutely no interest. And yet, internally, I was just absolutely filled with joy. And I guess the watching that team come crashing down shortly after that, that was a big downer.
Yeah, kind of deserved it, didn't we, from how we reacted. Top of the league, yes, and then all of a sudden, reality.
Yeah, I guess we kind of acted like a fan base who expected that this was not going to last very long, so we have to enjoy it while we can. 4-0 at Fratton Park was pretty enjoyable, too.
Oh, God, yeah, that was good. That was a good night.
That was a good night. That was a very good night.
We were together for that one, weren't we, Kev? That was
That
was good. A good night. Right, yeah, you said that you've never been here before, so that kind of takes my next question out. But if you ever are planning a visit to the UK, you get in touch with us and we'll be happy to assist with your needs to get into St. Mary's and stuff. It'll be fun.
I so appreciate that, and I will do all in my power to help you to get into the garden if ever you're out here.
Oh, the only reason I'm going to New York is to go to the garden. That is it.
That's terrific. Yeah, I have many, many great memories as a teenager, just hopping the train and catching games there back when you didn't have to take out a mortgage on your home to get a couple of tickets.
Ridiculously priced now, isn't it? It's...
But at least we have Dolan.
Yeah. right, okay. Kev, are you ready to get into the ITN news?
Yeah, we've got quite a bit to get through, so we may as well.
This is ITN In That Number News.
Okay, ITN News. We'll start, because we've had a couple of signings this week, I don't know if you know. First one of the week was Thierry Small from Everton, left-back, 17, highly rated, Everton's youngest ever player, rejected a new deal with the Toffees and signed a three-year deal with us instead. He has said on the move, "It's an unbelievable feeling, a big moment for me and my family, especially to join such a family-orientated club. It's an honour to be here, and I can't wait to get started. It's a real great honour to play here and play under Ralph, and I'm grateful to be here."
Yeah, I mean, we were starting to think that that's probably all of the business that Saints wanted done, and they come out with this one. I mean, you've obviously been linked to a few players. Thierry Small was one of them. We talked about him on the pod.
You just made it up.
But, yeah, no, it's a real one. But, yeah, I mean, that's great, isn't it, now that we've got depth in pretty much every position. I mean, strength, time will tell, who's the stronger out of Perot, Small, or Walker Peters, apparently. I think it's definitely a coup. We weren't the only team to be interested in him, and, he seems like a really switched-on young lad, having watched the interview, and he's quite realistic about the expectations that the club has for him, and that these things do take time, and how hard he has to work to make his way into the first team.
Yeah, and not speaking like a 17-year-old, for sure.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean, he's really well-smoked and seems quite intelligent. I hope that translates.
Wish I was like that at 17.
We obviously wasn't hungover when they interviewed him. But, what I want to say, it's kind of a switch of policy, isn't it, to going from taking players through the academy to buying players who are in that sort of no-man's land.
This is what I wanted to say. because, like, you're right, yeah, bring, you know, our long history of bringing up the youth for this club is still true, I guess, but we now tend to buy them in young and develop them that way instead, and we've had that production line, haven't we, of youth players, and that line seems to have stopped somewhat. You know, Ramsey Vokin's obviously not good enough in Ralph's eyes anyway. Instead, he's allowed to spend, you know, minimal amounts, it seems, and so now we have the youth, we have the depth, and, you know, thanks to our new signing and our second signing this week, we've got a little bit more experience in there as well.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, I think, you know, it just takes a crop of young players not quite being good enough, but us not having the depth, because we've had so many flops that we've loaned out or just binned off, that we've had players that should really be playing in the B team, who've been playing in the first team, and that makes the B team even worse, and it's a vicious cycle. So hopefully now we've got we've bolstered the strength of the youth, surely that would mean that we're going to have a much more successful term this season for both the B team and the first team.
Well, hold that thought, because the B team are playing right now.
Okay.
Our second signing of the week was Lianco, centre-back from Torino. As I say, more experience in central positions and a, you know, kind of a direct replacement for Vestergaard. Lianco, Brazilian. To give his full name, here we go. Lianco Evangelista Silveira Neves Vojnovic. How was that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd go with Vojnovic, but yeah.
Brazilian Serbian.
Yeah, that's a brutal combination, isn't it?
Yeah. Brazil under 23, 24. He looks like a fucking nutter, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he brands himself as the Gorilla, which has got quite a few Saints fans into trouble on Twitter.
Oh, God.
But, yeah, he does look like a beast. And, yeah, like you said, a bit of a mental case, like Serbian defenders tend to be. And yeah, I think that brutality is what we're missing at the moment.
Yeah, it's going to add a bit of steel and... you know, to that defence, and it's something we need. He signed a 4-year deal. He said, it's a dream that I have had since I was started playing football as a child, to play in the Premier League and for a team like Southampton. It's a dream not only for me, but for all my family too. I mean, it looks like he's going to nab Yannick Vestergaard's number 4 as well. And incidentally, Thierry Small is going to take the number 16 shirt. Scott, what do you think of these two signings in the week?
Really thrilled. It's amazing considering where we were last season, where we went in knowing that there was this massive Achilles heel, that we didn't have a whole lot of depth. And with the condensed season, we knew that if there were injuries, we weren't going to be we left back, right back. We were just kind of hoping that we could get through the season without serious injuries. And to see the depth that's coming in right now, what a great problem to have, that we're talking about three players that could play these positions and we're really not sure who the best of them is going to be. I have to say, I'm really, really optimistic about this. And it's what Ralph has talked about, that we need more cover at these spots. I think they have the potential of making us a really strong squad.
Hopefully so. Kevin, Bednarek, Salisu, Stevens, Lianco, is that a strong enough centre-back core?
Time's going to tell, isn't it? I mean, Lianco hasn't played. Salisu was looking decent yesterday. Yeah, Stevens has his moments, but you don't want to be relying on him defensively in a pair. Bednarek, I mean, it depends which Bednarek you get. Yeah, I don't know. I think Lianco's going to have to be good for me to say yes.
Yeah,
good
answer.
It's too early to tell.
Good answer. Scott, with Small and Lianco, we've now, you know, got a decent transfer window, I feel. So that's with Walcott, Pero, Lancashire, Simeu, Livramento, Adam Armstrong. Rate this transfer window in its whole entirety.
I mean, you can't be too, you know, obviously when you lose the likes of Vestergaard and Ings, it's tough to
Bertrand also.
And Bertrand as well. Yeah, I guess I was so resigned to Bertrand going at the end of last season that I forget about that. But I think it's been an incredible transfer window. I really do.
And it's not over yet.
True, yeah. We have, granted, we still have to see how some of these parts fit in, but I mean, for me, it's an 8 or 9 out of 10, especially when we consider that I felt like Ings and Vestergaard were kind of beyond the control of Southampton. If they wanted to move on, they were going to move on. I think Ings eventually going to Villa tells you where his mind was. He was just, he had made his peace with the idea that he was moving on. I don't know why, and I wish he hadn't, but that was apparent. But then to nab Adam Armstrong, which I think is the best possible replacement at that time, and then to fill all these other spots, to finally go into a season where we've got some cover all over the pitch, I think it's been really tremendous.
Yep, I'm with you on that one. And as we mentioned before, like last season, as the season wore on, the team did also. We've got, you know, the lack of depth, especially with the injuries as well. Now we have good starters. We've got good backups everywhere. I mean, you could point a finger in the central midfield, like, you know, one injury and we're light there again. But I'm sure, you know, we'll have enough elsewhere to cope if it stays like this. And Stu can slot in there if need be, I suppose. Livramento could play anywhere, let's face it. But all in all, I don't think I've heard any fan complain about the business that we've done. And with Saints fans, they complain about absolutely everything, don't they? I mean, they were complaining that we didn't score 9 on Wednesday night.
I have to say, I'm always struck by, it might be when I jumped on the Southampton train, but I'm over here just feeling optimistic all the time. It's crazy to me to hear the interviews after the game. And there's this kind of, you know, woe is me, this thing is always going to go wrong. And I just don't see it right now, frankly. I feel like this is, I don't want to say as good as it gets, but the transfer window is pretty, when you have to deal with the financial realities of the Premier League, this is pretty much as good as you can hope for. I mean, to constantly be getting good young talent that we're peeling off out of the academies of the larger clubs, I think this is pretty darn good. I'm very optimistic right now.
That's good. I mean, surprising that you're so optimistic because, you know, you listen to us every week. And that can't be easy. But, I mean, I just mentioned the Wednesday night. And speaking of that 8-0, our prize for that historic win is a trip to Bramall Lane and Sheffield United in the third round. Tuesday the 21st or Wednesday the 22nd, it's likely to be. Kevin, Stuart Armstrong hasn't featured this season at all. And you sent me an article that suggested he could be on his way out. And I've heard through other sources that this isn't the case. The club has since stated that his absence was due to a calf injury, which I think is well documented now. It's really weird for me, Kevin, because Ralph always said that there was no new injury concerns last week. And the calf issue is always the case, isn't it? It's Ralph's go-to injury to stop the media asking any more questions, I think. You know, because Stuart Armstrong could have been on a bender and Ralph could be, you know, punishing him. And they just say, yeah, it's just calf problems. But he was out of that Newcastle squad. He was included in Steve Clark's Scotland squad for the World Cup qualies, and yes, he's since been removed. So that was a question mark as well, because I was saying, well, he's out of the Saints squad. They say he's got a calf problem, and then yet Steve Clark selected him for Scotland, which, yeah, to me, that was a bit weird. But, okay, he's been removed now.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think with that sort of generic fuck off answer to the question about Stu, considering he was on the bench against Everton and then just disappeared without any announcement, it's slightly suspicious. I just want to see him back in the squad to shut everyone up. I guess by the time we podcast again, we'll know for sure if there's any truth to it. I do doubt it, but it is a worry.
No, don't be worried. It'll be fine. It's all good. Alex McCarthy, new deal. McCarthy and Forster had like deals ending next summer, but Macca extends for 3 more years, keeping him here till he's 34. I mean, it's good in the sense that we've tied up a keeper because we won't have, you know, we won't have any next year if this is the case. But then, you know, it does mean that Fraser will be allowed to walk, and then we'll have to sign a new keeper who's young enough to take over from Macca in the summer. that looks like what's going to happen.
Yes, I think we're going to have to sign someone pretty fucking good to replace Maka. And we can't hedge our bets. We can't place all of our bets on a young keeper like Angus Gunn. I mean, that was a complete failure, really, wasn't it?
Worked well, didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to get a steady pair of hands in to keep the ship afloat.
Yes. Guys, I read an interesting article in the week that I would like to share with you both. Are you ready for this, right? A new study has taken place to find the best football stadiums in Europe, right? And it's judged on these four factors of atmosphere, cleanliness, affordability, and food. The analysis was from over 100,000 TripAdvisor reviews. Have a guess where St. Mary's came out.
How many are there in there?
Well, it's the whole of Europe, so you take an estimate.
300th.
You think we're 300th, yeah?
People will have a good mind, don't they?
Well, these are TripAdvisor reviews, but actually St. Mary's come out fourth in Europe. Wow, that amazed me. But we're right up there. Incidentally, the Rhein Energy Stadion in Cologne scored 0.77 out of 10. St. Mary's was 8.9 by contrast. Fascinating stuff, no?
Give me a link. I'll check that out.
Okay, I'll send it to you. If you're wondering, Villa Park was number one in Europe.
Do we have to mention that?
No!
that's why Danny went. It's like, yeah, it's a slightly better stadium.
So, Scott, when you're going to know that when you come to St. Mary's, the atmosphere is going to be amazing. There won't be piss on the floor. It won't break the bank, and your tummy will be satisfied. So there we go.
I'm really thrilled to hear that. I mean, all I've been thinking about is how unfortunate it is that I never made it to the Dell.
Yeah, that would have been a slightly different.
It sounds it, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was one of those grounds where everybody at home loved it, but everybody away just absolutely hated it. But yeah.
Just one quick bit of news that we didn't mention last week. You were at St. Mary's for the match against United. At halftime, Franny was awarded the first of many this season of Forever Saints Awards.
Yes, I saw this.
Yeah. Obviously for his charitable work, he's a legend of the club, and they're going to be giving one at every home match this season.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
And I just wanted to ask, who would you give the next one to?
You, Kevin.
Yes, okay.
But you'd have to come over and isolate to collect your award, so probably not going to happen.
Yeah, maybe I can sort something out, maybe in the new year. So that'd be brilliant, yeah. Thank you very fucking much, St. Mary's. No, but in all seriousness, any candidates?
Letiz?
Yeah, about that. I think some of the criteria might preclude his nomination. It's more about sort of work in the community, that sort of thing. Well, I suppose so.
He did do a lot for the community during COVID, didn't he?
That's right.
Yeah, Bridgie, Doddy, and Franny, actually, wasn't there? They were all doing the rounds. I think James Beattie was there as well, so Beats, maybe he could be a candidate.
Yeah, maybe. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's not the best time.
I know it's not going to be Neil Shipperley.
Oh, Christ.
Lone Watch, then. Kane Ramsey of Crewe. Yes. He played 90 minutes in their 3-0 loss at Elland Road in the Carabao Cup second round. And yesterday didn't start in Crewe's 2-0 away defeat to Charlton. He did come on the 65th minute, but they were already 2 down. Sorry, my cat has been an asshole.
Did you see the insane run?
The run that he did against Leeds, yeah. He bombed it up the field, didn't he? And then
just from one end of the pitch to the other. But he was just too fast for everybody else. And the cross he puts in, beautiful cross, but absolutely fuck all people there to get on the end of.
Sounds about right, doesn't it? So Crewe are now 23rd. They've played 5, lost 4, and drawn 1. So not good. So then Dan and Underloo at Lincoln wasn't included in the squads in Lincoln's 3-1 away defeat to Oxford. Lincoln dropped to 20th now. And Will Ferry was in the starting 11 for Crawley. subbed off on the hour in Crawley's 0-0 draw with Northampton Town. They are now 20th in League Two. So, again, not very good.
We should stop doing these.
I know. The B team, they played Monday night against Nottingham Forest at the Impact Arena. They drew 0-0, a point, moved up to 11th now with three teams below them. And they are playing away at Middlesbrough right now at the Heritage Park. Oh, they lost 2-1. No, I've got it here. Oh, my God, this is heartbreaking. Yeah, I've just seen the score. It's Middlesbrough won 2-1. So Middlesbrough took the lead on the 29th minute. Saints equalised by Alegbi in the 86th minute. And then they fucking let one in the 90th, didn't they, to lose 2-1. But, I mean, they have scored their first goal. But they're still looking for their first win. So they've lost. And the women's team, another game, another win. This time away to Chichester and Southsea, 2-0. Two goals from Ella Pusey. New signing Katie Rood as well started on the bench and came on for the goal scorer with 10 minutes remaining. Second in the table, 9 points, three wins from three. Only second through goal difference, and Ipswich have scored three more. Now they are playing right now. And they're playing Gillingham.
Let's have a quick last final spin on the transfer roundabout. I really didn't think I'd be saying this, but let's do it.
Transfer roundabout, Kevin.
Final little spin. You'd think, right? So we've got the Hateful Eight in. Eight players signed this window. So, let's try and go through them. So, Lianco, Perot, Armstrong, Walcott, Simeon, Broger, Livramento, and...
Small.
Eight. I mean, this is gearing up for being the best window since we started this podcast. I remember the first window we reported on, we had Angus Gunn,
LUNC and Vestergaard.
LUNC, Vestergaard, Stuart Armstrong, and at the last minute, Danny Ings. That's a fantastic window.
Just Stuart Armstrong is here. Oh, and LUNC.
Yeah, and LUNC's definitely been redeeming himself recently. What happened to Gunn was a bit unfortunate. I don't really blame him for that. And Danny Ings is a traitor. So, it's time we moved on. And yeah, this new crop. I mean, you'd like to think that they've, you know, maybe gone, instead of going for 15 million players, gone for, you know, 5 to 10 million players and get a couple in instead of one to fill the
quantity over quality, though.
Well, I think, you know, it's always going to be a gamble. So you're better taking a gamble with cheaper players than more expensive players that come with, not only with a higher price tag, but with higher wages as well. Nonetheless, we are still being linked with players, even right now. Okay, put a few past you. 19-year-old forward. Oh, fuck.
His name? He must be Thai or something.
Yeah, no, he's North Korean, but a lot of problems with the work permit. 21-year-old Middlesbrough right back, Jed Spence.
Okay. Scott, that's a fake one, right?
I would guess so, although you're talking about bringing in a player from North Korea, I'm thinking that might be for real.
With a name like Oh Fuck, yeah, I don't know.
Oh Fuck, yeah.
It's going to get very confusing with Jack Stevens.
You know, the commentators have been like, there have been a few players where they've sort of bent their name slightly, haven't they? They've called them Oofug or something like that.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Valencia midfielder Kang In Lee. Mentioned him before?
Yeah, I've seen this one.
Mm-hmm. And 26-year-old Scotland international centre-back Jack Hendry.
Yeah, I've seen that one too.
Yeah, I don't think that if we are going to sign another player, it's going to be any of these. But we're just mentioning them to say that you heard it here first.
Yeah, it's not. If there is going to be one, it's going to be a Loney, I think, in midfield. That's where I'm going.
Yeah. I mean, you read it elsewhere before us, but you definitely heard it here first. one outgoing, actually, that we have mentioned, 19-year-old forward Benny Smales-Braithwaite.
Yes.
Yeah, we signed him from Man City a couple of years ago. He's joined Gloucester City in the National League North on loan until January.
Wait, Gloucester and North? That's not right, surely.
I mean, I guess it's the way the National League works. If so many teams get relegated and promoted, then they shift the borders about, don't they? Yeah, that's it for the roundabout. But we are going on international break. We're not going to have a podcast next week. We'll be back in 2 weeks. So shall we have a wee international roundup?
Okay, let's round them up. Take it away, Kev.
Okay, so we're a couple of internationals short after this transfer window. First piece of news is that Premier League says that its clubs have reluctantly but unanimously decided not to release players for matches in red list countries during September's international break. That's because if you're coming back from a red list country, you have to do a 10-day isolation period in one of those COVID slammers at your own expense, and there's no exceptions to that rule, so that pretty much rules it out. I'm not entirely sure how it's going to affect any of the internationals coming up, but in terms of our squad, Scotland. So Stuart Armstrong and Che McAdams have both been called up for the Scotland squad. However, as you mentioned earlier, Stu's had to pull out due to that calf injury. They travel to Denmark on the 1st of September, and then they're playing Moldova at home and Austria away on the 7th of September. And I'm just checking the red list here. Denmark and Austria are not on the red list, so it looks like Che's going to be allowed to go.
And get injured.
Oh, please don't. England. Yeah, we might not have any England players in the England squad because Gareth Southgate's a wanker. although it is kind of nice to see that Danny, despite moving to a big club, also fails to make the team. But yeah, Tino Livramento, he's been called up for the Young Lions squad in their upcoming games against Romania in a friendly. And they've got Kosovo in an under-21 European Championships qualifier. So yeah, good luck.
That's brilliant. Really good news. I wasn't expecting it this soon, but yeah, he's been ace in August, so yeah.
Fantastic. Ireland, would you believe it? Guess who's in the Ireland squad?
Michael Obafemi. Will Smallbone. I'm not saying it, Kev.
The one, the
other. Will Ferry.
Shane Long. Yeah, I haven't looked at the under-21s. There might be a couple of call-ups there. Yes, Shane O's being called up for Ireland's World Cup qualifiers against Portugal away, and then they're playing Azerbaijan and Serbia at home. These are all in the space of a week, 1st, 4th and 7th of September. Quick look at the red list, and Portugal's not on it. I've got to hope this isn't going to be a prolonged feature of international roundups. Poland, they play Albania and England in Poland, and then they're away at San Marino. And yeah, none of those countries are on the red list. But I can't find much about the actual squad, whether Bednarek's been called up or not. You kind of assume he has, but I can't find any evidence of that.
Maybe he hasn't announced the squad yet.
Maybe not. I think that's just about it, isn't it, Rach?
That is. Before we go into the Newcastle game, August is over. We look ahead to September, starting with that home game against West Ham on the 11th at home, and then Man City away on the 18th, and then Wolves at home on the 26th. That's a Sunday, that's a 2 p.m. kickoff, and that is on Sky Sports. And of course, we've got that Carabao Cup trip to Sheffield United in between City and Wolves game. Some tough games in September, Scott. You know, we've got West Ham, City, Wolves, two of them at home. A trip to the Etihad will be, you know, that's going to be out the way early, so get that one done. How many points do you think we're going to take here? Realistically, I think we need to take four, don't we? We need to be looking at four. We need to be looking at a win maybe against Wolves. I'll take a point against West Ham. And City away, I don't know, you've got to take your lumps there.
I tend to agree. I mean, the Wolves match is so huge because of the three of them, I mean, it would take quite an effort to squeak out more than a point in the other two. I would sign on for three, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, I'll take that. It will be something at least. As long as you don't get naught, that will be a good thing. Kev, and we've also got the August player and goal of the month that we need to put the polls up for. So you're going to do that this weekend, I hope, or no, you're going to do it after the England
game. Oh yeah, just over the international break, we'll put a poll up that you can vote on. Yeah, we've got 12 goals to talk about.
Yeah. As I say, we'll put the polls up around the international break. Right, should we go into Newport then?
This is Klaus Lundekvam, and you are listening to In That Number.
Okay, then, so Newport on Wednesday the 25th, 8-0 winners, historic victory, best away win ever. Goals from Nathan Teller, Kyle Walker-Peters, Nathan Redmond, a brace from debutant Armando Broja, and a hat-trick from Mohamed Elianoussi. Wholesale changes. I mean, look, we expected this to be 9 in all. Forster, Valerie, Bednarik, KWP, Elianoussi, Diallo, Teller, Redmond and Broja all coming in. Stevens and Prowse, the only survivors from the United draw. Scott, I'll start with you. I mean, were you happy with the starters? Because, I mean, well, aside from Prowse, it was all players that needed minutes.
Yeah, I was very happy to see that. I'd wanted to see a Kyle Walker-Peters sighting, so that was nice. Bednarik getting in the pitch is good. I thought it was, you know, when I saw the lineup, how refreshing it was to be able to see all these new faces and feel like we're not putting out a team that is so far behind our first team. I was definitely, and you look at the names, when you saw the sheets, oh, this is great because I finally get to see some of these players that we've heard so much about.
Yeah, like Broja, it was good to see him getting, and Teller obviously needed some minutes, so it was nice for that. Kev, when I saw the lineup, I was concerned. Well, not concerned, that's probably the wrong word, but more confused at who was going to be playing a left back.
Yeah, you'd like to think that Walker-Peters is going to be the more flexible of the two, and I think, hang on a second, correct me if I'm wrong, and didn't he come on against United and play at the left back?
He did. He came on for Pero, didn't he, in the Man United?
Yeah. So, yeah, I think bearing that in mind, I was pretty sure that it was Walker-Peters on the left and Valerie on the right.
Not ideal.
Tim said this, right, that we need to find a way to squeeze both of them into the team, and it worked out beautifully.
Yes. I don't know. I disagree with that. I disagree with the fact that, I mean, I said earlier in this podcast that Livramento could play anywhere. You could stick him up front. You could stick him in goal and he'd do a decent job, but I don't see... Yeah, I mean, he could be pushed up a little bit more, I feel, and Kyle Walker-Peters could get his usual right-back position. That's just where I see it, anyway. Because, like I said before, I don't think Pero's done anything to be overlooked. And we'll discuss that a little bit more when we get to Newcastle. But
I think this lineup, right, if this is the lineup that came out an hour before the Newcastle match, I think a lot of fans would be creaming themselves.
I just wonder, how did Jack Stevens become this mainstay?
I don't know. I think Bednarik's done something terribly wrong in Ralph's eyes because I don't see how he's, you know, outperforming. And don't get me wrong. I don't think Bednarik had a great season last season, but he's still better than Bednarik's worst day is still something that I would consider over Jack Stevens.
And he looked so good in the Euros. He seemed to be playing to rave reviews during the Euros that I agreed that I thought. Last year, I didn't know if it was fatigue from the condensed season. He wasn't the Bednarik from the season before. But that being said, you could always, you knew that he was going to be in the starting 11 every match. And he wasn't taken out very much last year at all. And then he seemed to acquit himself well in the Euros. I am at a loss for if he, and then when he was in the lineup against Newport, so clearly it's not an injury. I'm just at a loss for, does Jack Stevens have compromising photos of Ralph? Yeah. What is going on that suddenly he's turned into, you know, this, Vestergaard or Van Dijk that if he's healthy, he's in the lineup. I don't see what he's bringing that's such an improvement over Bednarik.
Well, we certainly didn't see that yesterday with the Newcastle opening goal, but, I think he's on borrowed time anyway, because I think Lianco's going to come in and take that place off of him. But what do I know? I mean, I don't want to go through this game because we'd be here all day if we went through everything. But, you know, just highlight a couple of things. Brozier looks the part, I feel. Granted, it's only League Two opposition, but he did what was put in front of him. And, you know, he was there to find the net, and he did find the net, Scott.
Yeah, no, you can be nothing but encouraged by what you saw from him.
He looks like a big unit, and I think he's 6'3" as well, so he's a big, big, big guy.
I'm guessing that you didn't watch this live either, because it wasn't broadcast anywhere. So you were listening to Adam and Dave on Radio Silent.
Sure.
The number of times they use the word big unit, or the phrase big unit.
Kev, Elianusi, Ralph has said before this game that he feels like he's going to find a way to get the best out of him. Good timing, I guess, because, you know, hat-trick, 2 assists, inspired performance. And I was going to ask, you know, is this his time? Is this his moment to shine? You know, are we going to see him in the lineup more frequently? And, I mean, obviously, he was in the lineup yesterday, so that's kind of answered my question.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a lot. It takes a particular attitude and a lot of patience, hard work, and what's the word? Dignity, I suppose. Yeah, to be shipped out on loan for 2 seasons after you've had a spell in the first team, but to come back stronger for it, I think that says a lot. And yeah, he looked very dignified after the match. I mean, he was obviously delighted to have scored a hat-trick. And yeah, I think it's difficult to judge against that sort of opposition how the players can play. But again, he stepped up against Newcastle as well. So yeah.
I
think he's one of those rare success stories, you know.
It's good. I love it. I love to see it. Redman back in the side as well with a goal and an assist. Walker Peters also. Lots of quite happy narratives in this one. So mostly, you know, being a fringe side and all doing fantastic jobs. Theo came on, and Iron Man Prowsey not playing the full 90. That's odd. Shane Long also with minutes, and 2 for Michael Obafemi. I mean, it was as perfect as you could hope for, really, with all those players and the scoreline. I mean, I think someone has said to me at the start of the night this would happen. You know, I really couldn't have dreamed a better scenario for it.
It was, yeah, definitely a fairy tale.
Excellent, yeah. There's some stats as well, obviously. Have you got any stats on this match, Kev? Because the only ones that I took out from it, really, were the 24 shots to their 3, 14 on target for us, and none for them. It's comprehensive, it was comfortable, it was just jolly.
Yeah, I mean, 69% possession. Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see the XG for this one. I haven't seen it, but it's got to be about 12, hasn't it?
Man of the match, Scott, you can go first.
I don't know where you go with this. Maybe Elianusi, just for all the things that Kevin was talking about, that he seems to have just a great attitude. He has to have a lot of confidence to be able to finally get an opportunity after being shipped out. And he just came back, he got his opportunity, and granted it's a small sample size against a weaker opponent, but he made the most of it. Of course, you could probably say the same for a bunch of players from that match.
Again, it's a good thing to have, isn't it, when you're discussing a man of the match, that you could pick any of them, really. But I think any time someone scores a hat-trick, you automatically have to give it to them, right? I mean, I'm going to go Elianusi. I don't know about you, Kev.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. I mean, he was just immense. Played the entire match. Not just a hat-trick, but got 2 assists as well. Could have had more. I thought Redmond was fantastic. I mean, but he always is in the cup games, isn't he?
He was good yesterday as well. Limited time.
Yeah, again, like, there's a couple of chances that he squandered as well. I mean, Redmond could have easily had a hat-trick as well.
Yeah, OK, so we're going to go on to Newcastle. Yes, 2-2. Newcastle. Desmond, Callum Wilson with the opener. Elyounoussi grabs the equaliser with his fourth of the week. Alan Saint-Maximin with the 91st minute dagger. But James Ward-Prowse with a penalty deep into injury time to make it 2-2. A match, as we said, full of drama, full of anger, a bit of pleasure. Kind of summed up Saints in 96 minutes, really, doesn't it? The changes that we had from that United draw, there was two. Kyle Walker-Peters in, and Elyounoussi's heroics midweek earned him a nod in the starting 11 in the Premier League, which is great. Walcott and Perreault drop out. Scott, again, I'll start with you. What did you make of the 11 this time out?
Jack Stevens, I just don't understand.
No, that's good. That's good. We don't understand it either.
Jack fucking Stevens.
Yeah.
I mean, there are times when I feel like we're sometimes a little too hard on him. I feel like when you talk about the four backs that we have there in the rotation, I don't mind Jack Stevens being in that. I think he's fine as a replacement. I just fail to see what he is bringing over Bednarik. So I'm just left scratching my head with that selection. Other than that, Gineppo, I keep pulling for. He has those moments, and so it's nice to see him get a chance. But I think we're getting to the point, of course, at some point Stuart Armstrong's going to come back, we hope, and then there'll be less playing time for Gineppo. So it's unfortunate that he hasn't made more of those opportunities.
Also, with Red Redmond playing so well, he's going to have to get the show in over Gineppo, in my opinion.
Yes, I was going to say that. I think that after you watch Redmond, it's tough to make the case for why Gineppo should be playing ahead of him, other than he's young and we'd like to develop him. There's probably greater upside in that regard. Otherwise, very pleased with the starting 11.
Yeah, Kev, KWP in, Livramento starting on the right. I guess, you know, it's difficult to leave him out right now. KWP shifts to the left, trying to find that way to use both fullbacks together by playing them out of position. I just feel a tad sorry for Perreault because he's done nothing wrong. Yeah, at the same time, KWP also, he's done nothing wrong. But like, you know, Scott mentioned at the start, it's a good problem to have considering we were reaching last season, weren't we? You know, Gineppo, Stevens, James Ward-Prowse all had fullback roles. But you know, were you happy with the selection?
Yeah, because I think I like the fact that we got a bit of meritocracy in there. Elyounoussi rewarded with a start after his great performance in the cup. The fullbacks, like I say, I think that's a solution for now, at least to that good problem that we've got. Front pairing, I don't see that changing, injuries, obviously, accepted. But yeah, I think Gineppo was that choice on the left wing. I don't know. I think whoever you put on there, it's not ideal, I think. Oh, I suppose you could, Rotella would be, quite deserved to start there over Gineppo. But yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah, and I guess, I mean, I'm going to ask this anyway, and I kind of know what you're going to say, but where is this heading for the rest of the season in regards to the fullbacks? Because, I mean, the way I see it, we've got two great right backs at the moment who deserve to be starting. We've got Perreault at left back who just needs a chance to prove what he can do because he hasn't had that yet. We also got to consider Thierry Small as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you take out Gineppo out of the equation, you can shift Elyounoussi over to the left, try out Livramento on the right wing, in front of Walker-Peters, and then have Perreault at left back. I don't know.
I want to try that.
Yeah, I think that'd be nice.
I would like that, yeah. Right, okay, so on to the game then. Another bright start. Lots of pressure, created chances. I mean, it was good to watch, wasn't it?
Definitely was. It was refreshing to see Walker-Peters coming forward as often as he was, too. I didn't see enough of him. I didn't see him at all in the Everton match. And It was good to see him joining into the offense. Maybe get a little when he took that shot from about 30 yards out. I thought he was going to have to kick it twice to get it to the goal line. Maybe he wants to calm that down a little bit. But I thought all in all, yeah, they had just relentless pressure, but at the same time seemed very calm.
I think they were trying to test out this keeper, this Woodman, because he's like third choice Newcastle, isn't he, at the moment. I think Ralph had said, look, when you get an opportunity, take a shot and just test him out. But Newcastle looked penned back, didn't they? They looked, I don't know, from what I saw, it looked like they were trying to use the speed of Saint-Maximin on the counter-attack, and I guess we just had answers for it early on.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much their only strategy, really, isn't it? But yeah, I mean, bombarding them from the off, but that, yeah, I think you're right. Ralph has just said to them, you know, just if you get it in the box, just twat it, because this keeper's going to be nervous. But yeah, I mean, there weren't any, you know, like really outstanding chances. I mean, Gineppo from point blank range, failing to get it into an empty net, managing to sky it.
Seemed harder to do that.
I mean, yeah. You've got to really try not to score. I suppose, you know, it's fallen, unfortunately for him. He doesn't get the shot off, but yeah, it's a real embarrassment for him.
Well, I mean, even on the goal, like, Elianusi didn't get a shot off. It just hit him and went in, and that's all that it needed, really. I don't know how he's missed it. I think it's criminal, and it looks worse every single time I see it.
It's outrageous.
It's very bad, yeah.
And it would have been a great assist from Livermento, sorry.
Scott, I mean, the one thing that, well, Kev's been very, very vocal about this before, about Gineppo and about his delaying, and, you know, doesn't shoot quick enough and takes too much time on the ball. It can be frustrating. You never know what you're going to get with Gineppo. But there was a chance shortly after the open net that he missed, where he just didn't shoot. He was just like spinning around, and the first time, even the commentators were saying, why did he not just put his laces through that? He's spinning around trying to find a better opportunity, and he's wasting it.
It's a shame too, because you see him in tight spaces. He's able to do so much, and then he gets opportunities right around the net, and he just consistently gets it wrong. And I watch him, and I hope it reminds me a little bit of Shea Adams, and I kind of just root for him to score that one goal, so then like the old ketchup bottle, that they'll all just keep coming when he's got a little confidence, because he just strikes me as someone who is lacking in confidence right now. He did get it all wrong when on that second one. He had another opportunity later, and I thought that he even had an opportunity to pass it off. I think it was Livermento who was open. He's just struggling to make the right decisions, and it's the type of thing, watching him, I kind of feel like if it were just instinct, like if he had enough confidence in his instincts that he could put one home, maybe others will come. The problem is, whereas Shea Adams was doing so much and there really wasn't that much in the way of competition for his spot in the starting 11, Ralph was able to ride it out with him. I don't know that he's going to have that luxury for Gineppo.
It's a very, very good point.
Yeah, because there's so many options in that position.
But, I mean, he does excite me. When he's got the ball and you don't, and like I said, you don't know what you're going to get with him, you always feel like he can create something. It's just that final third. And I guess it was the story for the entire team in that first half, because the build-up was great, and it was just final third was shocking. And Scott, lots of opinions on goalkeepers at the moment. McCarthy seems to have won start right now, at least. People aren't happy about it, like we said before. But what a wonderful save at the end of that first half from the corner. Oh, Callum Wilson header.
It was unbelievable. And can you imagine, like, how down the team would have been going into the locker room if they had dominated play the way they did in the first half and then went in 1-0. And that's one that we shouldn't forget.
Oh, God, yeah, that would have been awful for confidence, wouldn't it? But, yeah, I thought it was great. I mean, I don't know if you were around, Kev, but I took to Discord at halftime, and I was quite happy. I was drinking, but I was satisfied with how they were playing. Well, it was satisfied that they were going to get the job done, because, I mean, you know it when you're watching a game and there's like 5 minutes to spare and it's just constant attack, and you're playing well enough that you think, oh, we're going to score a few here. I felt like that at the break. I felt and I sensed something was coming, but I just didn't think it was going to be a Newcastle goal. And Alex called it in the Discord. He said he didn't feel he felt more worried about it. I haven't taken these chances. But yeah, start of the second half, 10 minutes in, Callum Wilson against the run of play, although, you know, Newcastle seems more up for it in the second half. I think you have to point the finger at Stevens, don't you, Kev? It just, he wasn't goal side. He then appeared to track back, but it just, he just let it unfold. And all right, it was a good couple of unlocking passes from Newcastle. It was a good cross, but we need to be able to deal with that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, fantastic cross. But I mean, the way that Wilson just gets between Salisu and Stevens, really unfortunate. I mean, there's not really much that McCarthy can do at that close range with that sort of header. But yeah, defending, again, nothing to write home about.
No, it's...
But that's, it's in the script, isn't it? That if we don't go into half-time 1-0 down, having wasted a load of opportunities, that Newcastle are going to start the second half more up for it than us, and we're going to concede. That's just in the playbook, isn't it?
It's happened every single game this season, apart from Newport. Yeah. But yeah, you're right. But then, you know, Redmond... 3 minutes after the goal, he comes on for Gineppo. Fair enough. It was a good decision. You know, it proved to be vital, in fact. And Brozier getting his moment on for Adams. And then, you know, we got the equaliser. Elyounoussi, fourth of the week. Nathan Redmond was absolutely brilliant. Gineppo never looked like creating a chance like that for anybody. And this is exactly what Redmond needs to be about. He's taking the ball. He's running at the defence. And he's whipping a ball into the box that, you know, Elyounoussi just couldn't miss. And Gineppo might have, though. But...
yes.
And, you know, it was fairly lucky, though, through because, you know, his first effort was just, it went straight at Woodmond and then it rebounded to him and it went in off of him. It was ugly, but it doesn't matter. It was deserved because Redmond made that happen.
Yeah, I mean, just getting to bundle it in, just getting it across the line. And again, the way that Gineppo didn't
create or... get on the end of it.
And this is what Redmond brings, I think. And
should be bringing, yeah.
Yeah, he's... I mean, we've all seen that move where he gets the ball in his right foot and he fires at the far post and he misses it more often than he makes it. But the other thing that he does is he finds a way to create a little separation and get the cross in. And he was doing that pretty consistently.
Yeah, I thought he was brilliant. I did. I really had so much admiration for him in that game. And then the 91st minute, Sam Maximan. What a mess here. I mean, where do we start? Because it all came from our attack. And it was a tired-looking attack. I think Livramento had the ball bringing it up, and he just didn't really look like doing much. I think he was settled for a 1-1. We're a sucker for a long ball counter-attack, aren't we? And then Salisu sliding about the place. Joelinton, fresher legs, I guess, made him look silly. And just a complete fucking mess.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's Salisu not tracking St. Maximan and letting him get that pass forward to Joelinton. And then Salisu switches to him, gets put on the floor. And it's just a quick pass back to Fraser. I mean, he's given how much space? I mean, pretty much the whole of the box.
Classic counter-attack, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, just to, you know, knob it in at the near post. But, yeah, Maka does get a save off, but, yeah, I think Fraser's fist would have dealt with that a lot better than Maka did. And that rebound pretty much falls to St. Maximan. And
so at least he'd already given up on it by that point.
Yeah. He's looking the other way, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Scott, then Redmond again, making things happen, playing a delightful free ball to Adam Armstrong, and it's a penalty. But yeah, I just want to talk about Nathan Redmond again, because that was absolutely fantastic. And as I said before, if it wasn't for him, we would have lost this game. And he deserves all the credit here, because, you know, your head's gone down. You just lost a goal in the 91st minute, and Redmond's got the ball. Now, normally, he would be passing back or would be running into trouble. But he made this happen, and this point is because of him.
As soon as he came on, there was a real shot in the arm, a feeling that we're actually going to get the ball over the goal line at this point. It's not going to be just hanging on to possession and then not doing much with it. It was a tremendous pass. I will say, too, that even when they gave up the goal in the 90th minute, I was happy to see that they were not going to just leave content with a 1-1 draw. They were really going for that winning goal, and the result was a complete calamity. But to be able to get up off the canvas after Newcastle celebrates like, you know, they just won the Champions League, to be able to get yourself off the campus out of Canvas and attack the way they did. And it was amazing that Newcastle had intent for so long to just sit back and prevent Southampton from getting a really glorious scoring opportunity. And then here within a couple of minutes, Redmond picks him apart.
Yeah. I loved it. I could watch it all day. And Kevin Prowsey, cool as ice. And there's so much pressure on this as well, wasn't there?
Yeah, but I don't know, you get the impression that Prowsey doesn't really feel the pressure in these days.
We could have used that composure for England, couldn't we? There we go.
Right. Yeah, somebody said it. But yeah, emphatic penalty. We got the goal we deserved. I think it would have been a brilliant goal if Onyeka had scored from that wonder ball from Redmond. But yeah, we got the equaliser we deserved in the 7th minute of 3 minutes of extra time, yeah, something like that. Yeah,
but I mean, the penalty was awarded on the 93rd, but they were just looking at it for 3 minutes. But yeah, a point we got what we deserved at the very least, I think, because I think, you know, losing that game would have been a disaster like that. A point, you feel, I don't know, you feel okay because of the manner in which we equalised, but. I don't know. You're looking back at it and thinking a point probably we deserved a little bit more. First half was great. You just couldn't take those chances. And the Gineppo one was kind of unforgivable, really. And I fear this is going to be the story of our season, really. If we don't put our chances away, then we're not going to win. Armstrong wasn't great today, Adam Armstrong, but he didn't have any of those glaring chances, really, did he? And when we're putting teams under pressure and we don't capitalise, that's worrying. Because you know the opposition at some point, they're going to. And it's happened in all our games this season, and we need to focus on putting that right. But like Ralph has said, we need to be more comfortable when we're dominating games.
Yeah, I mean, that's the difference between us winning and losing this game. You say that Gineppo chance, I mean, it could have been any of the three. Had he scored, that would have been the 3 points on the one hand. But on the other hand, we've got a point from two matches that we lost last season. So I think, you know, that's maybe a bit more than we were expecting at this stage. So there are definitely positives to take from the match.
That's a good thing to look at. A good way to look at it, I suppose. Yeah, I didn't even think of that. Man of the match. I mean, I thought Salisu was great in dealing with Saint-Maximin. He made so many blocks, tackles, you know, outside that area, but seemed to struggle a little bit in that box just when it matters. So I can't give it to him just because of that. Elianusi, right place, right times, doing great, 4 goals in a week. But I'm going to give it to the catalyst of that, the game changer. That is Nathan Redmond for me. I think this point is all because of him. And I know he didn't play a lot, but, and it, also you've got to give some credit for Ralph as well for making that sub at the right time. Let's give him some respect here. Let's give him both of them, actually, Redmond and mm-hmm. Ralph. I do think that Redmond needs to be starting against West Ham. Alex McCarthy also had a good game, has to be said. Did everything that was asked of him, I think. Crucial saves. So, yeah, Redmond for me. Scott, your man of the match?
I'm going to go with Salisu. I think he, in some ways, quietly was the reason that Southampton could maintain possession as long as they could, and he was very impressive.
I mean, there's a few candidates. Ward-Prowse was his usual consistent self. I thought Redmond was good when he came on, but yeah, albeit for half an hour. Yes, Lisa much, much improved from the last couple of games, but I'm going to give it to Elianusi again. I thought he was fantastic and exciting, and that he's taken that chance getting back in the first team and has scored. I think he deserves man of the match for me.
I think you're wrong. No, that's fine. That's good. Yeah, there's some candidates there. Definitely. So that leaves us 13th in the table now, on 2 points. But that's not really difficult to add up, is it? But I struggled with that then.
So two more than Arsenal.
Yeah, that's true. And we've also scored more goals than Arsenal.
Even if you include their 6-0 win over West Brom.
Yeah, let's forget about that. That doesn't count.
It's amazing how just a couple of points, like that one Man U point, really changed the outlook on this part of the season. Because when I looked at the fixtures to begin the season, I'm saying where are the points going to come from? I mean, we never win away at Newcastle, never win at Everton, and I was really concerned that there was going to be quite a push to push Ralph out. And it's amazing how just a couple just a draw against Man U suddenly changed the entire outlook, I feel. And thank goodness that we were able to salvage a point here.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, Scott, because I mean, if you look at United now, there's not going to be many teams to take a point off of them, considering that who they've just signed and all. It's going to be slim pickings to take points off of Man United, but we've done it. We've got it out of the way. And a point that we probably weren't going to get yesterday as well. But I do think that, you know, next month is going to be difficult. We really do need to get something against Wolves. I'm going to write off the Man City one straight away. But West Ham, we need to give them a good game because they're scoring a lot of goals.
But if we could just weather this storm, I feel like if we can just avert disaster in September, and there's no reason to believe it'll be disaster as well as some of the young players are playing here, we'll really be able to hit the ground running after that.
Let's hope. I really do hope we have a comfortable season. I need it. But yes, Scott, for now, we're going to have to say farewell. And thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure to finally get to talk to you. And we want to thank you again for supporting the show.
Thank you. The pleasure's been all mine.
Yeah, cheers, Scotty.
And hopefully you can still be on the Discord, and you know we'll always be around to chat and stuff. And
I think I will consistently be the voice of optimism.
Good, we need it. Yes, we need that. We do need it. We do need someone to be optimistic, because I'm certainly not going to be it. Cool. Yes. So, Scott, cheers, mate. I'll speak to you soon.
Cheers.
See you, mate. Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Dean Hammond here. Thank you for tuning in to In That Number.
Okay, now we want to bring in Tim. Tim, how are you this week?
Things are pretty good. Got to go see an outdoor concert yesterday, Glass Animals. They're from Oxford. I don't know if you've ever heard of the guys.
I've heard of Oxford, yeah. I love Oxford.
Yeah, Glass Animals, absolutely fantastic band. No. Check them out if you can, listen to them.
What sort of music do they play?
Electronic pop.
I'll give them a listen. Check me a song or two. I'll try it, man.
Okay.
So outdoor vaccinated mask concert is really good.
Wait, the band was wearing a mask as well?
No. No. They weren't, but it was really cool.
So Slipknot gigs are allowed to go ahead then, aren't
they? Good, yeah. Yes, Tim, I forgot what I was going to say. Yeah, did you get drunk yesterday? Because me and Kevin did, and I'm guessing because you were out, you've had a few drinks as well.
That is correct.
So we're all three hungover. Good stuff.
I'm doing okay, actually. I'm doing okay.
Damn it. Thoughts on yesterday overall? Not the concert, I'm talking about the Newcastle game.
To be expected. You know, you go down, and we expected to kind of, like, be underwhelming. To me, a draw is... It makes sense. We predicted, I think all of us predicted it except for Alex. And we have the talent to be the better side and to go and to win that game. And these are the games in which you separate yourselves from being a middle tier, fledgling, you know, lower tier team to settling and getting to that top tier level, top half of the table. And we missed the opportunities that to make the chances work, and it sucked. But we're here, and it could have been a whole lot worse.
Could have been a whole lot worse.
I'll take the draw, I guess.
Especially reluctantly. Yeah. Next, we move on to West Ham, but we've got an international break next week, so we can all relax and chill out and take stock of the first three Premier League games. But after that, yes, we have West Ham on Saturday, the 11th of September. West Ham, Kev, nickname?
The Allens.
Or, the Allens. Yeah, you got them both. Famous fans, go.
Well, shit. Oh, fucking hell, start me off with the flu.
Actor, EastEnders.
Oh, Danny Dyer.
Geezer. Yeah, another actor, always plays a gangster. Got a great first name.
Jason Statham. Ray Winston.
Yeah, Ray Winston. I've also got Alfred Hitchcock, James Corden, Russell Brand.
Half of David Cameron.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the other half is Villa. You can never make his mind up.
Idiot. Matt Damon, apparently, is a,
yes,
is a West Damon. Ham fan. I've also got the Queen. I'm told that she watches the Hammers at the Buckingham Palace, but I can't confirm or deny that. And also Barack Obama, apparently, is a big West Ham fan. Who knew?
Blimey.
Yeah, apparently so. Tim, fantastic season for West Ham last year. It destroyed us on the last game and stamped their ticket into Europe. When the European season, you know, I think when that kicks in, did you think they're going to suffer? Because, you know, early form in the Premier League, they've been incredible, haven't they? You know, 8 goals in their first 2 games. They scored another 2 yesterday in their 2-2 draw against Palace. Mikel Antonio's flying. Recently became the club's leading scorer in the Premier League history. So, yeah, back to my question. Do you think they're going to suffer when the European season kicks in?
So that's what I was hoping for, is to play them later in the season. And they don't have the depth that the teams necessary to play in Europe have. So they're looking to sign people right now. They just signed Kurt Zuma. That was announced. They've got a backup goalkeeper with Alfonso Areola. But outside of that, they're really, you know, they lost Lingard, who was great on loan for them in the second part of the season.
I have a feeling that Lingard could be going back, to be honest.
Yeah. I could see them too, but if they do it later, I guess later in the week, well, they've got 3 or 4 days now for the transfer window to clean it up, and then a full week. So if they do get Lingard in, he could definitely potentially start against us. So nonetheless, I mean, they took 6 last year, and they're playing in Europa, and playing them early in the season, especially with Mikel Antonio basically being the best player in the league at the moment. And then they've won against Newcastle. They won against a 10-man Leicester with Ayoze Perez's terrible red card. And they took a draw with Crystal Palace yesterday, where Conor Gallagher just took it to him. He was fantastic in that game. If you want to catch the highlights on that, just he did very well within an attacking midfield threat. So it's David Moyes. So he plays a 4-2-3-1. He doesn't rotate very much at all. So if I expect Zuma to start and to throw right in and take over for Craig Dawson. So looking at it, you're looking at their lineup of Fabianski, Kufal, Zuma, Ogbonna, Aaron Cresswell, with Declan Rice and Suchek, Jared Bowen, Pablo Fornals, Saeed Benrahma, and Antonio. Now, if Lingard gets in, he'll bump out Fornals.
I don't know. Fornals has been great this season.
Yeah, but Rama is the best in the wing, and Fornals is the only of the – Bowen and Benrahma are the wings. So you're going to see Fornals rotate in, but definitely be a – he'd be the odd man out reluctantly because he's been – yeah, like you said, he's been fantastic. He scored on the Antonio assist, the first goal against Crystal Palace that they just had.
Yes, he did, yeah. What sort of lineup do you think we're going to go with this? First question, actually – Redmond, is he going to start?
No. So the key battle, though, and I rather than write down key battle, I put in boss battle because Mikel Antonio is literally bossing everybody around. And
apart from who's going to be?
Yeah. So I don't know if it's Lianco because it's going to be Salisu. It's going to be Salisu, and I think Bednarek is actually going to slide back in. I think it'll be Bednarek and Salisu who will start for us. But beyond that, it'll be our same formation. And I don't think, I think DJ will finally be dropped. You'll throw in Tella or Walcott. And
that's
maybe
interesting.
Potentially.
That's interesting. You think Gineppo's going to be dropped and the game that Redmond had yesterday, you don't think he's going to get in? That's
no, no. I know Redmond came in with 30 minutes and really did well, but he exposed Newcastle. So I think that, I think it'll be Walcott or maybe even, I mean, hopefully Armstrong. I think what really affected us yesterday was, and this is not a knock against Romeo, but Romeo was getting so far forward.
I thought he was poor yesterday.
And he was poor because that's not his game. You want to play Romeo against somebody who's got an attacking midfielder like Lingard, who, you know, but ultimately in West Ham, he'll be better off if he plays because they'll have a lot more farther forward play. Whereas a 3-5-2 where Miguel Almiron, Longstaff and Willock, they were rotating around, but they were sinking back and it's allowing Romeo to go forward, which that's not his specialty. It's not his strength. So to me, I would hope that in a case like against Newcastle, that's where we should have started Stuart Armstrong at the six, but also kind of make it a 4-1-3-2 where he sits in front of Ward-Prowse. But now I'm going off on a tangent.
That's fine.
So yeah.
One thing you haven't mentioned is who's playing left back and right back and what's going on with this.
I called this at the beginning. I thought Perreault was going to get dropped because KWP is too good. It's not knocking Perreault. I thought they put KWP in there specifically to target and to be against St. Maximin. I think ASM took it to us regardless of what was going to happen, but Perreault would have been exposed even more. I think they'll go back to Perreault. I think KWP will be back to the bench. I think they did that as a tactical switch.
Okay. Maybe Livramento is just he needs a bit of a break because he did look again. He looked tired again. He looked tired in the game against was it Everton or was it United, Kev? When did we bring up that he didn't look like he had the legs? Again yesterday he looked like he was tiring towards the end. But now we got a break off. Although he has been included in the England under 21s now, so maybe you're right. Maybe Perreault will step back in. And Kyle Walker-Peters will go back to his more preferred right back position. I hope so because that's where I want to see him.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's great to see that we have this problem. That's the joy rather than saying who is going to play because we don't have any depth. You know, we don't have any depth to now of who's the best player for the best fit at the right timing.
Yeah. Kev, what about you? What do you think is going to happen with the West Ham lineup?
You imagine that almost everyone's going to be fit after having a bit of a rest. Internationals, etc. But, yeah, as we said before, there's not really many going out, are there? I mean, Shane Long and Shane McAdams aside.
Bednarek, possibly.
Possibly Bednarek. So, yeah, maybe we'll see Stevens and Salisu. I'm guessing, yeah, Romeo and Ward-Prowse in the middle. Maybe even Teller and Armstrong up top.
Yep, no Walcott, no Redmond, no Gineppo. Left back, right back, still up in the air. But like we've been saying all through this podcast, it is a very good problem to have.
Definitely, yeah. Like those wide positions are anybody's at the moment. And Ralph can look at the performances and what goes on in training and just put those freshest in. And I don't know whoever matches the opposition. Although, you know, against West Ham, that's going to be a tough gig, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're playing well at the moment.
So I think in terms of starting, it'll be McCarthy, Perreault, Salisu, Bednarek, and KWP or Livramento tossed up there. I'm going to go with Walcott, Romeo, Ward-Prowse, and I think they'll keep Elianusi. He was quite possibly the man of the match, and it's great to see him back in. And then as long as Adams doesn't get hurt against in his Scotland when he plays for Scotland, and then Adam Armstrong.
Yeah,
our lineup.
I'll be happy with that. Predictions then. Tim, I think you're up first.
All right. So 2-1 West Ham.
Oh, I've got exactly the same. I'm going 2-1 West Ham also.
So am I. Fuck you. That's why I put him.
It's obviously going to be 2-1 West Ham, isn't it?
I mean, unless it's 3-0 West Ham, but I mean, that's normally the away fixture.
That's normally at London Stadium or Alex. He's going for a 2-1 win also, but it's a Saints. He is. He's going for a 2-1 Saints win. And the wives. Gemma's going for a 2-0 West Ham. What is Abby going with?
1-1.
As well as Caitlin. Caitlin is going 1-1. And what about Marina, Kevin? What is she going with?
She's going for a 2-0 Saints win.
Yes, Tim. Thank you once again for your insight into West Ham. And we will be back in a fortnight to speak to you. And we will discuss the West Ham game, and you will then preview our trip to the Etihad. That should be fun.
Yeah, no, it won't.
Right. Yep. Speak to you soon, Tim.
Bye now.
Bye, mate.
Hi, I'm Matt Letitia, and thank you for listening to In That Number.
Okay, welcome back to Extra Time. We'll start with predictions. So from the Newport game, I went 3-0 Saints. You and Tim went 2-0 Saints. Oh, actually, Alex went 2-0 Saints also. So it was 8-0. But nevertheless, the Saints win, so we all scored 2 points. So that left the scores me on 4, you on 4, Tim on 4, and Alex on 2. Newcastle, me and you, Kev, went 2-2. Yeah, it was excellent. It was 2-2. So Tim went 1-1, and Alex went 2-1 to Newcastle. So close. But that now leaves the score of me and you at the top with 9, Tim on 6, and Alex on 2. Wife Wars, Kevin.
All right. Yeah, it's heating up in the Wife Wars. Marina, she predicted Southampton win and draw with Newcastle, but not the correct score. So that gives us 4 more points to put out on 9. Gemma, again, predicted the Saints win and draw. Also given her 4 points, put her on 8. Abby predicted the Saints win, she predicted the Saints win for both. So she only gets 2 points, leaving her with 4. And Caitlin predicted a Saints win against Newport and a draw against Newcastle, giving her 4 points, getting her on the board. So, yeah, Marina 9, Gemma 8, Abby on 4, and Caitlin on 4.
Excellent. Super 6, round 5, was won by Colin Carter with 16 points. And the overall lead is with Colin Carter on 54 points. I currently sit in 7th place on 39 points, if you are interested. There's over 50 people in our league now, so if you want to join, you still can. Your points will roll over. Don't forget, the code is YZLCSM. You can find that on our Twitter, Instagram, whatever. Just look it up and join our league. Fantasy football, Kev?
Yes.
How's it going?
Not particularly well at the moment. I've got 37, which is bang on average for this week so far. Ward-Prowse on the bench, not a good idea. Tony finally scored, and he was also on my bench.
Oh, I had Tony in the starting 11.
Yeah, not happy with that at all. Yeah, any successes other than that for you?
Salah, for me, I put him as my vice captain and I made Danny Ings captain.
I did exactly the same.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Salah got me 10, Ings got me 8. Diaz, another clean sheet, always a good thing because my name is obviously Payne and Diaz. He got me 6. Tony got me 6, Bamford 2, Rafinha 2, but they're still playing right now. I've also, Man United and Wolves are kicking off in a bit, and I've got Wan-Bissaka, Maguire, and Fernandez still to play. So hopefully I've got more points, but at the moment I'm on 41.
Yeah, that puts you somehow, I mean, you are 10th in our podcasters league. You'll probably jump above me into at least 9th. Yeah, Mitrovic. Yeah, Matt Markstone, we're going to have to kick him out at some point. He's too good. in our big league, which is getting very big if I do see some myself, we've got 112 now.
Wow.
Yeah, Matt Markstone is 4th. Ahead of him is Chino Orieno's Newcastle United, Nottingham Forest of Harko Suminar, and Bobby Brown's Magic Saints are back again.
Ah, nice one, Bobby. Is that it for fantasy?
I think so.
Okay, have you got a Russian phrase for me this week?
Yeah.
Wow, you're prepared.
Sort of. So, Bolshaya Vosmyorka.
Bolshaya Vosmyorka.
That's good. It means the big 8. Or, I suppose, a big group of 8. So that's what they call the G8 here. But we've got 8 goals, and we've got 8 new players. So 8 is the number of the day.
8 out of 10 goals. Okay. Just a reminder before we go, if you appreciate what we do and feel you'd like to buy us a pint, then please head to buymeacoffee.com/inthatnumber. We would really, really appreciate it. And thank you to everyone who's donated so far.
Cheers.
Cheers. Next week. We're not here. We have a week off. What will you be doing, Mush?
New academic year starting, so yeah, I'll be incredibly busy sorting all of that out.
I shall be de-stressing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got some work to do on the flat as well.
Oh, that'd be good. That'd be nice and distressing.
Yes.
But yeah, okay, so we'll catch up with you on the 12th of September. So until then, up the Saints.
Up Mid Southampton.
Up the Saints.
Up Mid Southampton.
Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.